12 o'clock hour, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Darren, I grabbed it there because I heard the music going out, so I just wanted to help you out there.
Yeah. All right, let's get back into some things that we were discussing in the second hour. Asked you, what is number one on David Poyle's list of things to do? This is a very, very important offseason. And look, Predators fans, I don't know how many are watching. I'd love to know. We've talked about it, but I always wonder in this market. I think whenever, you know, the runs were there, I think the interest was much, much higher just because everybody was just wrapped up into, you know, what was going on with hockey. Even though they were disappointed, they were wrapped up. So now of three straight years where it's been going the wrong direction, I do wonder how many people in this market are paying attention. Or do they just say, hey, see whenever the Predator season starts back up again. I don't know the answer to that. I'd love to know. I mean, are they tuning in to see the Lightning and the Islanders? Are they tuning in to see the Canadiens in Vegas tonight? Or are they just like, hey, let's pay close attention to what the Predators do this offseason, and we'll see when next season gets cranked up. I suspect most are in that boat. I hate that, but that's probably where the masses are. Obviously, we're paying close attention to that, but this offseason is big because to keep that interest that I was just talking about, you have to be, you know, really competitive. You have to be in the thick of things. And I think that window of the magical run, the season after that, I think people were, they couldn't get enough of hockey, right? It was just, they were all in. And then things have kind of gone the other direction. So I don't know what the mindset is. But nonetheless, I know that they're paying close attention to what happens this offseason. So this is a big, big offseason. They're going back into a division. I don't know how you guys feel. I kind of feel like even though Colorado's in there, gosh, I feel better about the division than what they just had to experience. I mean, Tampa, Carolina, and Florida was no walk on the walk on the tulips. I mean, that was at times murderer's row. I mean, they were the top three teams in hockey. So maybe the division switch going back to what they've been accustomed to over the years will only help, even though you've got a special team like the Avs. Minnesota had a nice season. St. Louis, not sure what they are. What is Winnipeg?
How would you rank them right now?
I don't know.
Well, besides Colorado, Minnesota too.
In a general sense, I think we went over this once before, but this is how I would put it. It's going to be different in that there won't be as many juggernauts at the top, probably, but there are not going to be the weak teams at the bottom. Fair to say?
You're saying there's not a Detroit in the division?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that's fair.
I don't see a Detroit in the division, a team in a full rebuild, right? Chicago's going to be another step ahead. They were supposed to be in the full rebuild for a lot of reasons, and they actually overachieved for a good while. But they have a pretty young group. I think they're going to feel pretty optimistic. I don't know. I think for the Predators to be where they want to be, they've got to be better than the Blackhawks next year. But the Blackhawks aren't going to be any pushover. The Jets are a really interesting one. You know, what do? They still got some of those familiar guys that we've seen for years in those battles in that division. You know, Shifley and Wheeler and all those guys. But what do they look like? We didn't see them very much. They've still got Hellebuck. But they've got some holes, right? They've got some big issues there. Now they've got Pierre-Luc Dubois. What do they do with him? Can they sign him long term? They've got him under contract for one more year, I think. What's
St. Louis?
What's St. Louis? It's a great one. They're removed now. They don't have Petrangelo. They're removed from their championship team a little bit more, but they still have a lot of strong pieces.
Yeah.
Are they better than Columbus?
Honestly, I feel like Nashville, Winnipeg, and St. Louis kind of look and feel the same.
Yeah.
How about Minnesota?
How about Dallas?
How about Dallas?
Dallas gets out. Dallas is intriguing because some of their pieces are aging, but they're getting some important pieces back. They also have some young pieces that just continue to get better. I don't know. That Dallas is an intriguing one too. I don't know what they are. That's why I'm saying I kind of feel like it's Colorado and then
everybody
else.
You
tell me.
Yeah. Teams. Now, Minnesota, I think I might be the inside track for the second pick just because they had a lot of things kick in. They got a great season from, you know, the rookie.
I'm not willing to go there.
Kaprizov.
Fiala
has made a jump. No, they've got it, but you got to look, Darren. They got to look. They still have a couple of those old guys, but they've got a young group that is coming on.
What is Parise? What is he?
He's
a guy who was getting healthy scratched.
This year, and they,
right.
So they don't rely on him anymore.
Okay.
Now, fortunately,
so
he still
picture?
Takes up room on the cap.
Okay.
But Joel Eriksson Ek and some of these other guys are good.
Well, the whole point of the conversation, though, shifts back to the Predators. And you used the line, Darren, that this is a very, very important offseason. I think that this could be – no, I won't say could. I think this is the most important offseason in David Poile's tenure.
I would agree with that.
Because
I think there's a lot at stake for the future.
Because I believe that we all know the fan base is restless. For a majority, they are restless.
They've been restless for a good while.
And they are more vocal than ever about the job that David is doing as the general manager. There's respect for most people. There's respect that he's the architect and he's done a lot of the good things, but they look at the last few years since being eliminated by Pittsburgh and how it has just kind of gone down the wrong direction after big moves have been made. That's all on David Poile. I mean, that just is. You've made the coaching change. Darren, you've pointed this out several times that you've done that move, and so now all eyes are going to look on David. It would appear that they're John Hines is the head coach, David Poile's the GM going into this offseason. I think we all agree that that's what this is. But what does it look like moving forward? And how much is that being discussed behind the scenes of what does it look like moving forward? This offseason, I believe, is going to dictate a lot of that. And it's from both sides. It's from the side of, okay, the Predators looking at it, and it's from David's side. You know, how much longer does he want to do this and take a shot at it? This is not going to be just a move here and there and boom, it's back. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. You got to move money. You got some big contracts that are holding you back and you're not getting the production out of those players. And so that's why it's holding you back. But again, that falls on him. So if he's able to pull it off where you get one of them, I have been vocal in saying it's Duchesne. You move Duchesne's contract, whatever you got to do to move him to Seattle, you do that. If he's able to do that, if he's able to potentially bring in, you know, a big time, big boy forward, just your game changing forward, do that somehow. Okay.
Well, can you stop right there? Pause right there for a second. That has not gone well for them.
It hasn't.
So do you really want them to keep throwing that dart? Because that dart has not worked. It's missed the board. And I don't want to throw shade your way, Chase, but you know about missing the dartboard, okay? I've seen the video.
Yeah, but I also hit the dartboard eventually. Once I get going, I get...
I know, but I didn't see that video.
I know.
I saw the part where you missed a lot.
People like to conveniently send the ones that create the narrative.
You're saying it's skewed toward
it's a little skewed,
way?
But that's okay.
They haven't done well, in all seriousness. This has been close to an epic failure.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to throw money at guys to come in here and be what you just described has been pretty much an epic failure. So do you want to keep going down that path? I know I was guilty earlier of, you know, okay, what about Mitch Marner? What about Jack Eichel? I didn't say I was for it. I was just throwing it out there. I didn't say I was against it either, but that really hasn't worked well.
You're right, but would you agree that they are missing that? You're right. They haven't found.
Everybody's looking for that.
They haven't found the right ones. Apparently, that's what it appears. And I was all on the Duchesne bandwagon. Full disclosure, I was all about it. Now I'm sitting here saying, how do you get rid of him? It hadn't worked. Kyle Turris didn't work. Ryan Johansson has worked. Maybe not to the extent that everybody, you know, hoped, but it's worked. They don't make it to the Stanley Cup final without him. Even when he got hurt, he got them to that point or helped them get to that point. So he's worked. But I agree with you. I understand. The ones that they have gone after, for the most part, they've missed. But at the same time, we can't – how many more off seasons are we going to have the – well, can Philip Forsberg go to that next level? Can he be that guy?
I'm kind of past all that stuff. It's just we've talked about it till we're blue in the face. It's like at some point either it's going to happen or it's not. It's like keep saying
that
over and over and over again.
You have to re-sign him.
Though. I know, Willie, and that's a
well, I'm saying you don't have to resign him, but you have to keep playing that game.
Yes,
if you're
right.
Going to invest in him again, you have to be assessing. Are you going to get the same? And you know,
what's his value?
What's the value for the same production?
Right. What's his value? That is a.
I think he's a little bit more of a known quantity than somebody you bring in from the outside.
Of course, but what is it? What is the?
But I think he needs a complimentary piece.
I think he's a 30 goal scorer.
Oh, okay. So what does that pay?
That's the question.
He's making what, 6 right now?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I would say 6 or 7, somewhere in that range.
There's a lot
with
of X factors,
cap?
Too. The flat cap is a big one. What's his desire to stay here? Is he willing to take a little less? He's engaged. You know, I think he might want to – might prefer to stay. If he goes to the open market, I think he's the kind of guy that people will overpay for. I think that's his reality.
No, I agree.
Well, teams typically
guys like
overpay.
Him don't become free agents very often.
Yeah, but teams typically overpay, and that's
what I'm saying. But
not
that's
a good thing.
That makes it harder for you to re-sign him unless he's willing to say, like a lot of the Predators, to their credit, I really don't care about hitting the open market. I like it here. I'm staying here.
But I will say this. You don't keep somebody because somebody else is going to overpay. That's a bad recipe. Well, if we
don't overpay,
somebody else will overpay. That's a bad way of
really
going about business.
They haven't really had to do that other than Johansson. I think they really were worried that if he hits the open market, he's going to make a lot of money. And so I think they had to overpay for a center of his caliber at that time. His stock was pretty high.
I would agree with this is maybe the biggest offseason David Poile's ever faced. And I'm with you. I should throw out the word maybe. I think it's pretty clear. This is a huge, huge offseason.
You don't think last year was a huge offseason?
It was, but I think this is bigger.
It was, but
why is this one bigger than last year?
Because every year that goes by, and what Chase was talking about, the grunt, you know, things get louder and louder. And, I mean – If this upcoming year has missed the playoffs or another first round exit, do you think you can really just keep coming back with status quo everything? And this,
status quo about what they did last year. They changed a lot last year.
Yeah, that's right. But we're talking about one piece in particular. David Poile's the GM. He's made these moves, and for the past 3 years, it's been first-round exits. Dallas, the bubble this year. It's been first-round exits. And when you get as close as they did and everybody's sitting here thinking, this window's wide open, they're going to be back. I mean, I saw a post that
But there was no status quo. Okay, the status quo was after they lost to the Jets, right? Peter Laviolette came in and he said it. My meeting with David Poile, I want this same group to come back and have another chance. And essentially, that's what they did.
The players said that. The players said they wanted another
chance. And Peter Laviolette said that.
Right.
And David Poile obliged.
And he did. And it didn't work.
And they came back. Well, they won the division. They won the division in the division that the Stanley Cup champion came out of. A very, very tough division. They won it. It's not like they were a bad team. But they did not do well in the playoffs, as we know. It's not easy to do well in the playoffs. So at that point, they brought in Duchesne, right? They rid themselves. They traded the PK Subban contract. They brought in Matt Duchesne. That was a big move. So it's not status quo, right? But in doing so, in reality, they took a step back. Fair to say? Am I wrong?
You're missing the point of status quo. You're off base on... Chase understands what I'm saying with status quo. You're acting like status quo as in moves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's two things, I've said it over and over and over again, that haven't changed in all of this. The general manager and the core players. At some point, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. That's what I'm getting at. That's status quo. It's not about moves that were made in the offseason. I understand
the moves. It's not about moves. Status quo means you don't do anything. You just keep rolling the same thing out there. They have not done status quo. They changed the coach in the middle of the 20 season. I think they took a step back overall because I thought that team really was struggling to find an identity. And really, I think that was the lowest point on this graph since the Stanley Cup run was at the end of last season. The return to play, the disappointment of losing to the Coyotes, and as a result, there were the biggest changes last year where they just basically said, we're changing our identity. We've got to get tougher. We've got to get more sandpaper.
I was the first person to scream that right after the season ended.
And they did that. And they did that. So I feel like their graph was going down. Last year, they addressed it with a pretty good size host of changes, right? The Nick Bonino trade, letting Craig Smith go to free agency. There was a long list of things.
Letting Granlund go. I mean, I think we all thought he was going to be gone, and it worked out.
Right, he came back. But yeah. I just think they had a better season this last year than they had the year before. And
honestly,
I think they now have an assessment. They now have an identity that they can build off of. I think the question is now, how do you build off of it? And it's a very difficult job. But I think when you say it's been status quo for 4 years, I don't think that's an accurate way of putting it.
But
I didn't say four. Well, first of all, the last 2 years before this year, I think were worse. I mean, embarrassed is a strong word. They had no chance against Dallas. It was very obvious they were not beating the Stars. They weren't the better team, period.
They were up 2-1.
They were not the better team. If you were watching that series, and I know you were, they were not the better team. They were getting pushed around. They were getting skated past. They just were not the better team. Dallas was the better team. It was the first rut-row moment of, wow, man. I liked that matchup.
It didn't have a good feeling.
It had
feeling. They surged at the end to win the division to play the fourth-seeded Dallas. And as we know, Dallas turned out
that was a good matchup.
Dallas was building to a point where they were coming on, right? They took St. Louis to game 7 the following round.
Don't tell me, though. I understand what Dallas did. I'm talking about the series against the Predators.
They went to the Cup Finals last year.
They were not competitive in that series. They just weren't.
Two games to
Dallas was the better team. It was very easy. Really? Are we going to play this game? I mean, you act like
Dallas
was the better series. They were the better team in that series.
Yes,
period.
They were the better team.
And
in that
everybody
series,
knew it.
I'm
you
just
could
saying
see it.
The Predators led 2-1, and they lost the last game in overtime, where they could have forced a game 7, which they would have had on home ice. I'm just saying, there's a fine line of saying you got dominated and
did you feel good about that series?
I didn't feel good at all about that series.
Exactly. That's.
But I'm just telling you, you're never that far. You're never. Things are never that good and never that bad in terms of the NHL, where it's such a fine line in a salary cap. There's so little difference between having huge success and having what is perceived to have huge failure in the playoffs.
And you know what? This show has said that many, many times and have defended a lot of things. But at some point, you can't keep just saying the same thing over and over again. Like, we've said all those
but
things.
But what are you proposing? We've defended. Blow it up? Are you saying just blow it up, start over? And
no,
and
I'm just saying,
years of
I'm simply
tanking?
Asking the question, where do you think they are in the landscape? Where do you think they are in the lay of the land moving forward? Like, how close or how far do you think they are?
You're talking about this year's playoffs. What would you have said about Montreal going into the playoffs? Montreal wasn't predicted to have great success in the regular season. They didn't have a great regular season, and here they are. A very, very good chance of getting to the Stanley Cup final. It's a possibility.
And they can build
the Islanders are not a loaded roster. Their captain got hurt. He's not playing. Anders Lee. They've made some really shrewd trades. They play a really good system. And they have a chance to force a game seven against one of the best teams of the era in Tampa Bay.
Nobody's questioning things in that market about the Islanders where they are. Since Barry's been there, they have exceeded all expectations.
100%
since Barry's been there. So nobody's questioning where they are in the lay of the land or the landscape of their division or the Eastern Conference.
And a year before that, everybody was questioning everything about the Islanders for about 30 years, right? Not 30, about 20, right? From 1993 until a couple years ago, they hadn't even won a playoff series. So they were the most bungling franchise going. And suddenly, here it is. It's a really tricky thing. There's so little difference between this. So I know it's easy to look at, well, what have they not done? But I'm trying to point out where are they now compared to 2 years ago? I think they've made some really good, significant strides.
Right. But
and
what's...
So the retooling is the key. And it's not an easy answer. And they do need to retool. I'm not sitting here saying stay status quo. I think there's got to be changes. The expansion draft sees to it that you're going to make changes.
Right.
So it has you assessing everything on your roster.
I hear what you're saying, but the reason that I say that this is David's most important offseason is if he's the one that's going to be responsible for doing the retooling, and he's the one that has been responsible for all of that.
Right. He has retooled in the past.
He has. And I respect it. I respect him. He's done a weekly on this show through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we all have a great relationship with him, but you do have to look at things in the big picture. You know, it is.
So what is he not looking at? Are you saying just make a change because it's just this time to make a change?
No, I'm not saying.
That's why they let Barry Trotz go. It was change to make a change. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, I'm trying to tell you. I'm saying that this offseason is where he has got to improve this team to a point where they go into next season and they are competing for the division, you feel like that this team has a chance that when they get to the playoffs that, yeah, you know what? They are going to get past the first round because let's be honest, it was a great run. It was fun to watch the resurgence this year. But if you're putting everybody on a lie detector to say, hey, do you think that they had a chance, really a legitimate chance with the team the way it was constructed to beat Carolina? The answer is no. I picked Carolina in six.
Okay. You picked the Canadians. Why'd you pick them?
I didn't pick the Canadians.
You didn't pick the Canadians. Well,
you didn't pick the Canadians?
Elijah.
Okay. Well, then you would have said the same thing about the Canadians. They beat Toronto.
I understand. But I wasn't worried
about what the Canadians have that the Predators didn't have?
Playing Toronto.
They were playing Toronto. Exactly.
Well, that's a fair point.
They were playing Toronto.
Okay.
I love the resurgence, and it's something to build on. I think John Hines has finally gotten the players to buy in fully to what his system is. I love the fact he's going to have a full training camp to finally, you know, go along with that. And so I'm not saying blow it up and change everything now. I'm just saying that you got to take a huge step. Otherwise, you're going to have to take a tough look at, all right, is it time? Is it time for maybe David to move up into the, you know, in the front office and not be the GM and not be the only one making the decisions? That's what I'm asking. Because as Darren pointed out earlier, going after these big boy forwards that a lot of these teams that are successful have, it hasn't worked out.
They didn't do that last year.
I understand, but they've done it and it hadn't worked out. Duchesne hasn't worked out. Bottom line, it hasn't worked out. I was for it. A lot of people were for it. I sat in the studio with you the day they signed him, and you and I were giddy about it. A lot of people were.
So in that respect, that's what I don't understand, is you want to go for it. You want to make these. You want to make a quote, big jump. So they tried to do that, and it didn't work out. And so now you're second-guessing all that stuff. Nobody, I mean, Darren, I think you were the one that had reservations about Duchesne, and I think I did too, just knowing that they already had Turris. To me, that's still the one, if you could have a do-over, that you would look at, because it created part of why they are where they are today. But I'm just pointing out that when you're saying you got to make a big jump, you got to do stuff, you can't just stay status quo. They've done that. They've done that the last two off seasons with some pretty major moves. And I think this year they will, just because of the expansion draft, there's going to be moves. But I think they will again attempt to make changes. And I think they will make changes. And regardless of what they do, they're not going to be predicted to win the Stanley Cup, no matter what they do. Colorado is going to be the overwhelming favorite in the Central Division. So you're going to have to win by doing it more like Montreal, more like the Islanders, teams like that that are great, quote, teams that play a great team game, get really good goaltending, solid defense, and good scoring up and down your lineup with a good hard edge, good system. That's how, and you can win that way. I think that's what they're trying to build right now. It's not going to be with flashy moves with the big score and stuff. They're not in position to do that right now.
Chase, are you going to tell us about BetMGM?
I sure am. You bet I am. I messed that up. Score a major payday with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Just register using the code 1025GAME100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on my Braves or Willie's Mets. And if either team hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball or hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Braves or the Mets and either team hits a home run. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Thanks, Coach Stack. 94.9 is the home of your Nashville Sounds baseball tonight. Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights. That's the AAA affiliate for the Chicago White Sox. Boo at First Horizon Park. Pregame show begins at 6:50. First pitch at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Bernard Parler will join us sometime in the fourth and final hour, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're talking about this Predators offseason. Let me just say, that was a good discussion in that last segment. We have been, look, everything we've said on this show is everybody's opinion. It's been on record and said multiple times over. I was the first one to stand up there, or not first one, maybe the one on this show, the center of the center. David Poile, as rowdy as the fans were, deserves to see this through, and he's deserved the right to figure out what to do at the trading deadline, and we have defended David Poile and all that good stuff. That's all on record. It's there. We've also defended things that have taken place. I'm just simply bringing up some of the off-season moves that they have to make, because I think this is extremely difficult, because here is where I'm at with this roster right now. Outside of Roman Josi, and you brought up Juuse Saros, who's an RFA, it's going to get done. I don't know what the terms are going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be. It's going to get done.
Sure, but Juuse how it Saros gets done is very
and Roman
important.
Josi are the two most important players on this team. And what I'm trying to figure out, and this is where I'm not envious being the general manager, because, yeah, it's hard. Because think about all the fans out there who would have absolutely pulled the trigger on Wayne Simmons. 100% would have pulled the trigger on Wayne Simmons. And how many fans were very, very excited when that move happened? And then when it was over, they were like, that was a terrible move. That was terrible. Well, guess what? You'd have done the same thing, and it didn't work out.
That is the
same thing with Matt Duchene. And let me just tell you, go peel back the tape. I wasn't against it, but I certainly was not over the top, and I had reservations and I had hesitations about it. And I guarantee you, if you go back and listen to the audio, I was telling you guys, these numbers you're throwing out there for Matt Duchene is absolutely bonkers, and you guys thought I was bonkers. Because I remember one point you were like, well, if you're not going to pay him $9 or $10 million and you're not getting him, I'm like, then I'm not getting him. I'm out.
I wasn't on the show when that happened.
Okay. I did not say that. In fact, I was in the $7 million range, $7.5 million, $7.75 million. And quite honestly, I wasn't that comfortable with that because I kept quoting Floyd Reese. Just because you pay somebody a certain rate doesn't mean they turn into that player. Yeah. I like him. I think he's a solid player. I like him as a person to deal with. I think he's a good locker room guy. I got no issues with him. But everybody is wanting Matt Duchene to be something. I don't believe and never did think that he was. I think his body of work is what he is. And just because you give him more money doesn't turn him into that player. Ryan Johansson, the same thing. That's why I keep saying, can we please stop, you know, wanting Ryan Johansson to be something that he's not going to be? He's good for about 14, 15 goals a season, but he does a lot of other things, and that's what he is, and you have to be willing to accept that. My problem is, where are they with the rest of the roster? That is where I'm concerned.
That's where
I don't have an answer.
Soros
are the no-brainers. They're one and two, the most important pieces on this roster. You know what you have in them, and you know what you get from them night in and night out. Okay? Who's next that you feel that way? I think we all like Philip Forsberg. We all like Ryan Ellis. We all like Matthias Ekholm. But is everybody? You don't feel the same about them as the first two.
Well, I think you just hit on the nucleus. I don't know. I know people throw out Ryan Ellis's name. I don't feel it. I think Ryan Ellis is gonna stay. Unless they were blown away with somebody just calling them up and saying, you know what, we love Ellis, we want him, you got a contract issue in terms of your cap, we'll take him. I just don't think there's a lot of teams
out
there
second
in that
tier.
Position.
He's not in the first tier, in my opinion. He's
well,
the second
He's under
tier.
Contract for a long time. He's going to be on their team. I think Ekholm, Forsberg, and Mikhail Granlund, to me, are the three that will have to be addressed this summer. Granlund, of course, is an unrestricted free agent, so he might be the most urgent. The other two you have a little more time on.
Not really, though, with Ekholm. You really don't. Because they've been down that road, too, right? I mean, good luck.
What do you mean?
You want to wait till the end? Waiting till the end is not good.
No, but he and Forsberg each have another year on your contract.
Right.
So remember Roman Josi, it went into the season before they re-upped. You know, the regular season had started.
But
by the
typically,
time.
You don't want to do that. Typically.
No, you'd rather not. Ellis and Johansson got theirs done in the summer when they were in this position.
Yep.
But this is why I started the conversation with UC Soros, because what you sign him for is going to dictate to some level what you can offer those other three guys.
Not really.
May not get done in that order.
I don't think so. I really don't, because it's not it's gonna be anything. It's not going to be 7 for 7. It's not going to be 7 for 49. It's not going to be that contract. So it's 3 years at $5 million a year, so it's $15 million. Or it's 4 years at $4.5 million. And so it's just not a number that's truly going to dictate what you can do. That is not what's going to dictate what they can do. What's going to dictate what they can do is what we were talking about earlier. Can you find a way to rid yourself of a big contract? Can you find a way to get somebody to take a big contract? That is what's going to dictate how your offseason goes, in my opinion. It's not the UC Soros deal.
It's important.
It's important. It's not going to dictate your – it's not dictating your offseason. A big contract that you're already attached to long-term is going to dictate your offseason.
Yeah.
They all come to that conclusion, you know, all collectively, all of those decisions. But I think we've all tried to do the math. Somewhere in there, you've got to not only alleviate some salary issues, but you also have to try to keep your team age a little younger, right? You've got to get a little younger. They did a good job from last year to this year getting a little younger, right? They infused their roster with rookies. They flipped Nick Bonino for Luke Kunin. That's a move in the right direction to try to get a little younger, right? Because that's where their nucleus was aging some. And they're not old, right? They're just they're all in that high 20s, low 30s area where they're either in their prime or about to go past their prime. So if you got too many guys locked up in contracts for the next 4 or 5 years, like we've said before, all of a sudden a bunch of 29-year-olds are all going to be a bunch of 34-year-olds together with contracts that are not real exciting for other teams in terms of trying to move them. So that's got to be part of the equation too, not just the money but also the age.
Yeah, here's the other thing, because I pulled up Cap Friendly, so to kind of give you a reference, right now they have $18.6 million, but you obviously have work to do. You have Saros. You don't have a goaltender under contract, so Saros is an RFA. Peck is an unrestricted free agent. Fabro is an RFA. Tolvanen is an RFA. Now, I think we agree that Tolvanen's not going to cost you a lot, but
yeah, neither is Fabro.
What do you think that'll be?
Well, I think honestly, because of Fabro and his struggles this past year, that probably not to anything they wanted to do, but that probably enables them to get him at a pretty good price. And that's an interesting thing. Is, do you want to try?
He's arbitration eligible too.
You know, there's a arbitration eligible is an interesting one to look at. But would you try a little, you know, 2 years for Fabro, 3 years, and try to dangle a little less money, like the longer the term, a little less money? But, you know, remember Colin Wilson was kind of in this boat, if I recall correctly, kind of like, mixed bag. We like the player long term, but he hasn't done it yet. I remember Colin Wilson, maybe we can look back and find it somewhere. It seemed like at this stage of his career, he sounded like a 3-year, 1.5. It ended up being a pretty good bargain. He can go to arbitration, but I think you're looking at, no more than, less than $2 million, don't you think? For Fabro?
Yes. Yeah, that seems about right.
Probably less than $2 million for Tolvanen.
Yes.
Tolvanen might be like $1 million, right at it.
It just depends on how the term is,
and he's just right? He's a flat RFA. He's not arbitration eligible, so that one will be
So you could almost go year to year with him if you want to, or if you're him, right? Yeah, just
sure.
I'm on the verge of a breakout. Give me 1 year, and then I'll show you next year that I'm worth a lot more than that. But those aren't going to break your bank. Those should be. Those are the kind of players you like because they're young. You can control them some. And hopefully get a big bang for your buck there, right? They were lacking in that area for a while. Now they have a few more of these guys, right? Not taking a lot of your cap, but making meaningful contributions. Carrier, they've got a great deal on him, right? He makes less than $1 million. They've got him tied up for another year or two, right?
What is Rocco Grimaldi making, Chase?
Rocco is $2 million.
$2 million. For just next season?
Yep.
Yes.
So what's going to happen on the Rocco front? Because
I think his is not an issue of how much he makes. It's
$2 million is $2 million. No, right. When you're talking about money, that is a big deal if it's a guy that you don't see in the plans under head coach Sean Hines. So $2 million is a big deal. So what do you think they're talking about on that front? Because it does seem like, and I know you could tell he's been frustrated, that it doesn't seem like John Hines is maybe, I guess, in love with, his skill set when it comes to his system.
Well, he wasn't with Austin Watson either, and they traded him. I mean, yeah. Austin Watson fit more Peter Laviolette style and not John Hines, and they made the move. So
it does feel
Rocco gets traded.
Rocco is a great story because he was a guy that was buried in the AHL.
Bounced a high second round pick by the Florida Panthers.
Right, that wasn't making it. He bounced around to a couple different organizations and could not get past that tag of AHL or 4A guy. And he, to his credit, elevated his game, was the right fit for the Predators, a good find for them.
And a fan favorite.
And he earned a fan favorite and earned that contract that he's under right now. But it's a double-edged sword. Now he's making $2 million. He's guaranteed $2 million. And since they changed coaches and changed styles, it doesn't quite fit his strengths as much, right?
It seems that way, yeah.
I think you can see the way they used him. Like when they had all those injuries, he was in there, and he had some big games, right? He had a 4-goal game. He ended up with 10 goals. That was, you know, in the top 6 or 7 guys on the team, right? On a team that didn't score a ton. So he brings something to the table. But when you're guaranteed $2 million and there are other options that they have, I do think they might look around and see, is there a better fit? Like I wonder in Washington, is Peter Laviolette, who sort of is the guy that gave him the shot and that's where he made the jump, would he have an interest in him in Washington? Would he fit with the way they play a little bit better? That's a theory. I don't know. And then maybe some other teams going, hey, we're a speed team. This guy can really fly. That's the way we play. We could use him. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot back, but I do think that. And listen, if they brought Rocco back next year, I wouldn't have any problem with that. It's not like a $2 million salary kills your salary cap.
Well, if he's a guy that's not going to play on a consistent basis, I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, if he's a scratch.
You don't need a $2 million
not
a
ideally,
year guy to
not
be a
ideally.
Healthy scratch.
But, what the option then would be to buy him out. Right, if you can't find a trade partner.
Oh, you would be. I agree with what you were just saying. Somebody would take his services. Like you said, somebody who's looking for a speed guy on the third line. I mean, come on. They absolutely would.
I'm just saying, if you don't find the deal that you like, could you hold on to him a little longer? I think you could, right, depending on what else is going on there.
No, I don't. Tell me that he's in the plans, and then I'm okay with it. If he's not in the plans, no, it doesn't make any sense. You have to know what their plans are, and the plans, it looks like, is that he just doesn't fit what John Hines wants him to do. So
and
no.
you've got Tomasino, right? That you probably
right, which
somewhere
David
in there you got to try to create a little room for him. Somewhere.
That don't be surprised, right? It's almost like he's saying, you know, don't be surprised, like. Things to come. It's like the preview.
Right.
Tomasino coming. Theaters this summer.
And he's at
this fall.
This is another thing we were saying repeatedly 1 year ago. And we had a lot of time to talk about it because there was nothing going on. There was no College World Series. There was no playoffs. I mean, we were sitting here going.
It was a simpler time.
We got nothing but time. We were saying, is the Big Ten going to play? Why aren't they? Why do they not play in the SEC's play? Like these were our shows a year ago. But we talked about this a lot.
Don't bring that up again. Let's
The prospect list for the Predators, it was essential that Tolvanen took a jump. It was essential that Trennan took a jump. It was essential that Tomasino become a good player for them. And then we didn't even know about Tanner Jeannot and Olivier and Carrier, right, who all jumped in there and made really good contributions. But they desperately needed some guys to jump in there and push from the bottom, and they got that. So that puts them in a much, much better position. So Tomasino is huge, right, in terms of the big picture. They desperately need him to be a really good player for them. And they also need, from here, Tolvanen and Carrier and these guys we just mentioned, to continue to get better, right? They can't just be what they are now. They have to continue to get better. I might even put Fabro in that box.
So, yeah, I would. So here's another one. What about Victor Arvidsson?
Great question.
Where are we at on him?
Great question.
That's why I said. Outside of Saros and Josi, I think you've got that next tier that we identified. And then there's a lot of questions. I mean, things you like and things that concern you.
All right. Let's put it this way. This tough calls. I'm sure daily in the office they have some sort of in the hockey ops department some discussions about this. If the budget was you can keep Granlund or Arvidsson. Who's more important? Like, we have a deal, we can trade Arvidsson. And that would free up the ability to bring back Granlund.
I think the biggest,
I don't know if it's going to come down to that, but these are the kind of things that you have to sort of Arvidsson sort in your mind, right?
Is his body. Can he hold up? And I think that is a real concern.
Yep.
That he's taken a beating over the years. And I feel like, you know, Granlund was available, and Granlund does so much. I think everybody loves Victor Arvidsson, but it seems like every passing year there is a more growing concern of, is he ever going to return to what he was? Is his body going to allow him to return to what he was? And if the answer is no, then, you know, you don't love Victor Arvidsson moving forward, because everybody loves, you know, what he brings to the table when he's upright and he's healthy and he's able to do that, when his body allows him to do that. But, you know, every passing year, that seems to be a little bit tougher pill to swallow, that we ever will see, you know, that guy that was a fan favorite and everybody went nuts over and was getting 30-plus goals a season. It does seem like that's kind of in the rearview mirror. I don't know. I hope that, you know, that there is more to come, but I don't know. It's a fair question. If you're saying one or the other, I think you would be hard-pressed at this point, knowing how successful Granlund has been in Hines' offense and Hines' mm-hmm. system. I just don't know, even as much as you love Victor Arvidsson, I don't know how you could say Arvi over Granlund when you yeah. think about this system, and John Hines is going to be the coach next year. If you're saying one or the other, I'd be hard-pressed for somebody to say Arvidsson.
Yep.
And, I would, too.
I would, too, and I think there's a scenario where they're both back. But then if they're both back and Granlund has a new contract, and we're talking again about that age category that a lot of these guys are in, high 20s, right around 30, maybe on the other side of 30, under contract for a while, how many of those guys can you have? Because down the road, it's going to catch up. When they're all 34, 35, that's not good. So you can only have so many of those. So somebody's got, if you keep those two, then somebody else in that category is going to be moving. Right? We've already mentioned a bunch of them, right? There's so many. You can go down the list.
You bringing back Holla?
That's another really good call. Like, Holla was a good fit.
Well, he was a good fit. But second half of the season.
Yeah, it took a while.
Took a while, but you now you little, he knows where he fits. They know where he fits.
I think if,
would you take it back at the same price?
What was he, like a million?
1.75.
Yeah.
Once again, you can keep there's got to be room. I mean, you can't
gotta be
keep,
room for Tomasino.
You can't keep saying, right? "Hey, yeah, bring everybody back, but then squeeze in Tomasino and squeeze in like
Well, yeah, cuz also
Are you going to bring in any new faces?
Yeah.
I mean what do you
That's a good question.
Just bringing back the exact roster? You just said status quo is not happening. So, you can't keep everybody. Or you can, and then you're bringing back the same roster?
Again, great questions.
I mean, we could go down the roster
I would
and
say
give
it,
percentages
to the Holla
for every
question,
player.
I think Holla is a wait and see. You know, I think he probably hits the market, and maybe somebody says, "Hey, I really liked how Holla played. Let's jump in there with a $2 million deal or something." I don't know what the market was not good for him last year, and I don't know that it will be much better this year.
Yeah.
But I really liked him in his role last year. But could you find somebody else if you didn't have him? Maybe for a similar price. I don't think his price is going to go up. You would have to have him come back at a similar price, maybe $2 million max.
I don't really think that's the issue. The issue to
is
me
space.
Is space. It's like, once again, you just trotting back the same roster. The book is closed on this offseason, and they're just bringing back the same roster and give it another go? Or are you?
I don't think so. I think you're going to see, expansion draft aside, I just kind of feel like that there's going to be a move that we're going to come on here and go, huh, okay. And that is more of a departure. I don't know what's coming back the other way, whether that's Arvidsson or, I mean, Rocco wouldn't make us go, huh? But, like, if that's an Arvidsson or an Ellis, you know, they get a good offer for one of those guys and make a move, then I just feel like there's something like that that could be on the horizon.
I think it's pretty clear your only move can't be what Seattle takes.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We know that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I know, but when you say we know that, but we haven't really done anything in this discussion to prove that that is anything other than what Seattle takes. You didn't leave any openings for new bodies.
If you want to make – all right, I'm being the GM. I told you what my first move was. Mm-hmm. I'm calling Seattle, and I'm saying, hey, I need you to take Duchesne. If you do that, I'll give you Fabro. And they let's just play the scenario. They go, sure, we'll do that. All right, there you go. Duchesne's gone, Fabro's gone. And then a team, you know, I'm just sitting there, I'm kind of got the phone, texting a little bit, talking. Then I work a deal with a team. Hey, Victor Arvidsson for mid-round pick, something like that. Okay, I'll do that. And then I'm going to talk to Forsberg. I'm going to talk to Ekholm. Where you at? What are you guys thinking? How are we feeling? Try and get at least one of those. If everybody is in agreement, are we in agreement that they're going to be back? Is that kind of what we're thinking?
Well, I mean, David Poile, okay, especially on the Ekholm front, he was, right, no hesitation.
He'd probably be the first one. He'd be the first one I'd take care of.
But let's go
Ekholm
back to –
will be here. Well, did he not? I mean,
he
said that, right?
He said that.
I think it's very possible that he does that. And Chase, I think your moves are possibilities. I wouldn't rule out those two moves. I would rather not give up Fabro. I'd rather give up a first round pick, as I said earlier, because I'd like to hang on to Fabro. But if the net result of what you're talking about is you would move two guys in that category of high 20s at age. Long-term contracts that take up – now, Arvidsson's only 4-point-something million, right? That's not 8 million. You know, you could have two – you could do a lot with the extra money. But those are two sizable contracts with term that you would move out of there, right?
Yeah, I mean, with the moves I made, I just dropped
you
about
just created,
15.
Yeah, you just created some space mm-hmm. for your salary cap. Now, let's go the other way.
I'm going to go sign Ovechkin.
Who has the trade – who has better – you just said, okay, Arvidsson for like a mid-round pick –
if you say Duchesne,
you're giving away plus another asset. Now, what if you turned that around and said, I'm going to trade Ekholm, I'm going to trade Forsberg, each have 1 year left on their deals. Those guys are much more attractive trade assets, true?
True. But I'm...
You could get something for him.
You could
have a Luke Cunnan come in, you know,
but that's
for example.
That's where...
Maybe something better than that.
We've talked about Ellis. I've talked about Ellis before. I have always been the type that, you know, people would hate on Ellis, and I'm like, hey, you know, come on. He is a solid player. Now, do I feel like he is this elite player that maybe some do? No, I don't. So I keep him in my back pocket of if the right offer, and I mean the right offer, came along, and that includes – whether it's picks that make my team better or another player that makes my team better, if I'm able to pull off these other things that I'm talking about, if that happens, then I'll listen. I will certainly listen. But, you know, and none of these moves are me making moves just to make moves. In regards to Forsberg and Ekholm, Ekholm is the one that I just think he is so underrated and so valuable to this team that he wants to be here, they want him here. I'm willing to get that one done. I am willing
years?
To do that this summer.
How many years? He's 31? He's going to be 31?
He is 31.
He's 31 currently, so he'll be 32 at some point during the season next year? Late in the season, I think?
May.
He just turned 31,
so
right?
He just turned 31, so he will not.
So he'll be 30. Next year he's 31. If you sign him to a four-year deal, it's 31, 32, 33, 34. You like 4 years?
I'll do 4 years. I'll do 4 years, shoot for 5.5 per. I'd settle at 6.
The other thing about Ekholm, he's been a great bargain, right? The contract that they just – that is winding down at the end of this season is one of the best contracts ever signed, right? Just like Yossi's was right before, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got huge value out of him. He could be a guy that says, you know what, you had me for a bargain before. I'm going to cash in. This is my last contract. I got to get what I can get. But you've heard Mattias Ekholm say, you know what, I'm never going to spend the money that I've already made. You know, he's one of those guys.
So he may,
they have
he
really
may
benefited
be like, hey,
from the fact that their players or their agents maybe have not been all overly willing to fight for every dime they can get.
Yeah.
Right? Only a couple of them have really negotiated hard. And I would put Ellis and Johansson to a degree in that category, although deep down you knew both of those guys wanted to stay here. That's been a huge asset to the Predators, being able
and
to
I do think Ellis
have
took a
guys
discount.
At the end of the day that they really wanted to stay here. So Ekholm and Forsberg might still be in that category.
Sure.
Right, we'll come back. Final hour of the DDC next.